Hello and welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's February 3rd. You're listening to KTOO News Juno, and we've got a good show. We'll find out about the Juno Roller Girls upcoming bout. We'll also find out about the band Slush Not Snow. Dove Gardenberg from NAMI will give us a preview of this month's Inside Passage program, which is tonight, centering on mental illness and young people. And representatives of Big Brothers Big Sisters will be here to talk about the Alaska Native Mentoring Initiative. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A propane shortage is hitting Indian country hard. The Red Cross is assisting residents of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. Cold weather has increased the consumption of propane, leading to the shortage. Many rural residents use propane as their only source of heat. Charles Michael Ray reports.
The propane shortage means some tribal residents in South Dakota are without heat. Wazipa Little Elk is the executive director of REDCO. The tribally run corporation independently operates a propane delivery company on the Rosebud Reservation. Little Elk says the 80% unemployment rate means some residents simply can't afford to refill propane tanks.
Propane and just meeting basic utility bills is always a struggle for many of our community residents, but especially this year when we have these cold spells that are really crippling everyone, driving up costs and creating further hardship.
Little Elk says on Rosebud, the tribally owned propane company has managed to keep costs down by locking in a good price early and reducing company profits to give residents cost savings. He says there is not yet a need for disaster shelters on Rosebud to house those without heat. South Dakota's U.S. Senator John Thune says he is working to open up supply lines and get more propane shipped from processing plants in the southern U.S. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Members of the United South and Eastern Tribes Organization are meeting this week in the nation's capital. Tribal leaders are discussing challenges facing Indian country. Topics include land into trust, diabetes, and education. Tribal leaders are scheduled to meet with White House and federal officials. The week also includes federal listening sessions and consultations. Comment will be taken on the reauthorization of the Special Diabetes Program for Indians, and the Treasury Department will hear from tribal leaders about access to capital and credit. Tribal leaders will also visit members of Congress. The organization represents 26 federally recognized tribes. Tribes are going to receive more funding this year from the federal government than last year, but as Matt Laszlo reports, attendees of last week's State of Indian Nations address in Washington say funding is still troubling.
Sequestration is off the books this year, but that doesn't mean Indian country isn't still facing tight budgets. Andy Joseph Jr., or Badger, of the Confederated Tribes of Oregon, says their health care budget is going to be hard to work with.
Yeah, medical inflation goes up higher than the increase that we got, so we're still going backwards. Our people are having to do the same work for less.
This year, tribal leaders say they're focusing on economic development. Ernie Stevens Jr., a member of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin, says he's hoping the federal government can help streamline some of the process.
Break down some of those timelines and barriers that hinder economic development. So we're not pointing a finger at anybody. We're not blaming anybody. We're reaching out to the United States of America through our sovereign governments to help us make a better and more fluid process to empowering not just tribal enterprise, but tribal individual, tribal members, small business.
As for government-to-government relations, the president of the National Congress of American Indians, Brian Cladisby, says he's hoping the Obama administration can continue making progress.
And we need to be a team in making this a foundation for the next president and for the next president and for the seventh generation, that this will be institutionalized, that they will know in the next administration that this is just part of the culture.
For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
La Bamba by Richie Valens. Today we remember the rock and roll star who, along with musicians Buddy Holly and J.P. Richardson, known as the Big Bopper, died in a plane crash on this day in 1959 near Clear Lake, Iowa. Valens was 17 years old at the time of his death. Valens, of Yaqui heritage, was inducted in the Native American Music Awards Hall of Fame in 2009. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Support for National Native News comes from the Tribal Telecom 2014 Summit, February 10th through the 12th, bringing together tribes and industry partners to advance digital opportunities for tribal communities. On the web at tribaltelecomconference.com. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, you're back at Juno Afternoon. It is 3:05 p.m. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Partis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And the weather, strong wind through Tuesday morning. Today, sunny, highs 27 to 38. Tonight, clear, lows 12 to 27. Coldest in wind-sheltered areas. Northeast wind, 5 to 15 miles per hour near downtown Juno and Douglas. Northeast winds, 20 to 30 miles per hour, with gusts around 40 miles per hour. Tomorrow sunny, tomorrow night sunny, Wednesday night and Thursday sunny, and looks like some snow for the weekend. Wow, winter is back. Hello, winter. Okay, along with winter, there's a lot of activities in Juno, and we have the Juno Roller Girls, not all of them, only three in the studio with us today. We have Laura, who's known as Bitter Glitter on the floor. We have Jessica, who just started. She doesn't quite have a name yet, Roller Derby alter ego. And we also have Julie, who's just Julie. Okay, ladies, let's talk about it. You have some upcoming events, but first, what is roller derby?
Julie, do you want to get started on that one?
Roller derby is probably the most exciting thing going on in my life, and probably for people who are looking to get into sports might be either interested in checking out or seeing it. It's a game played on roller skates. On the track, you have teams of five. Two facing off against each other. It's a really amazing blend of athleticism and cunning. We are trying our hardest to get one player through the pack. She's called the jammer. She scores all of our points. If you want to think about it as the blockers beating people up, the other jammer in particular, to earn those points, and then the jammer runs through and kind of collects them.
That sounds very exciting. So
very
when
physical.
You say there's two teams of five, so do the Juno Roller Girls play against each other?
We do.
Our February 15th bout, we'll be playing two, we'll split in the league to put on a Juno Roller Girls show. We also play other leagues. We just missed an opportunity due to the fog to play in Seattle. But we play all over up north, and we're trying to get out of the state.
Good luck. Now that it's clear, you can.
Fairbanks is coming down in March.
Who was that?
Fairbanks is coming down in March to play us.
Great. So you guys play at Centennial Hall, and how long is, like, if you go to a Juno Roller Girl event, about how long does it, is it like a typical sport event, an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah, I guess start to finish, it runs maybe 2 hours, maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah, we start at 7, and then there's a halftime of about 30 minutes, I want to say, and then we continue, and people are usually out of there. They come at around 7, and they're out by 9-ish.
Okay, that was Bitter Glitter talking. So let's talk about this romantic Skate to the Heart event you have going on. What day is that?
It's the 15th. It's right after Valentine's Day, which is kind of perfect. So come out and bring your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or maybe if you don't have a significant other, it's a perfect way to celebrate and just watch people get their aggression out and then join us.
And that's 7 o'clock at Centennial Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, the Juno Roller Girls are also hosting two upcoming classes about roller skating?
Mm-hmm.
The first one is going to be an hour of intro to roller skating, and then the second hour is going to be 101 Derby. So it's a really great class for anybody who's interested in getting out there, learning what the sport's about, getting to meet the team as well. I myself am signed up for both classes, and I am super excited about it. I cannot wait.
How can people find out more about the classes, when it takes place, and how much they are?
You can go to the Juno Community Schools website for more information, or follow us on Facebook, or go to junorollergirls.com. Our information's out there across the board.
Okay.
classes, $50 each. It's 10 sessions, which is, you know, it's enough to get you rolling.
Right.
So this is a really good opportunity for people.
Right. And since the Juno Roller Girls are going to be playing against themselves, you're going to split up into two teams on February 15th, I think an intro to roller derby would be when you guys are nice to each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a really safe environment for people who are interested in feeling it out. We're not going to come in and just nail you. This is about getting you up on your skates, like really showing you why we love the game and hooking you so that we can hit you next time.
It's also pretty intimidating just to go into one of our practices, so a lot of people use this. If they're kind of scared just to jump in, this allows them to feel more at home with the personalities with roller derby.
Okay. And then are all the Juno Roller Girl bouts, all the roller derby stuff, is that 21 and over?
Unless you have a guardian.
Okay.
We do have children prices, but they do have to be with a guardian because we do have a no-host bar provided by the Rendezvous.
Okay. All right. And then there's a bake sale coming up, too.
Yeah.
Yay, we're skater-owned and operated. So everything we do, we have to raise our own money, buy our own tickets, like all this. So we host bake sales to raise some money. And this next one will be go towards us participating in the Alaska tournament in Wasilla in May.
Whoa. So, that's so where is the bake sale?
AMP.
IGA. Right. IGA at what time? When?
Noon.
On Saturday. Okay, great.
Noon on Saturday.
Great. So it's Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. All right. And so if people want to buy tickets to the February 15th Skate to the Heart Derby, how would people do that?
You can go to Hearthside, you can go to
Rainy Day Books,
yep.
The Jack, or online. You can go to JunoRollerGirls.com. We have a link on there. We promote it on our Facebook event page, our community, jumping on the wrong topic, the Jack site itself,
okay.
Art and Humanity Council.
Sounds great. So how many Juno Roller Girls are there?
I think we have people participating at all levels. We have people that go to every practice or close to it, and they want their derby career to be sustaining and keep on going. And then we have people that come in and they'll skate every once in a while with us, and they do it more recreationally. But to get all together, I want to say we have
about 50, including the officiating crew.
And there's jobs for people on skates and off skates. So a lot of people are like, oh no, I'll never go on roller skates. I'm not coordinated enough. Well, there's so many ways to get involved with us without even putting on roller skates.
It's true. My mom runs our fundraising committee.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Okay, and then we just have a few more minutes. So any of you, whether it's Bitter Glitter or Jessica, who's yet to get a name, or Julie, just Julie, what made you say, I've got to join?
Well, I'll go ahead and pipe up on that
okay,
one.
Okay, this is Jessica talking. She was referred to before the show as fresh meat. She's new. So go ahead.
So one of the teammates I actually went to high school with in Sitka, and I've kind of watched her on Facebook the last couple of months since I moved to Juneau in May, and it just looks like she's having so much fun. And being newer to Juneau, even though I'm sort of from Southeast, you still want to have an opportunity to get out there and meet people, find people with the same interests, and just be able to let some steam off. I mean, all of us have different jobs and different walks of life, and we need an outlet. We need a hobby. And one of the great things that I've found with the league so far is everybody's been incredibly welcoming. I showed up at one of their scrimmages a week ago, and they helped get me set up with gear. I managed to get all my gear ordered with great assistance from them on recommendations on what I should buy, what I shouldn't buy, what works best for one skater may not work better for another. And, you know, they just really welcoming, and being able to get out there and have each of them take time out from when they're needing to do like their hardcore practice or hardcore scrimmage so that they can get prepared for the bouts that are coming up. Just taking the time to come over and skate off to the side with me and work on one-on-one skills together. Bitter Glitter actually worked with me last night and helped me learn a few things like a T-stop, which is a lot of fun. So plow stopping, which is very painful to the inner thighs, but also, you know, very good workout. But it's been great so far, and I just can't wait to do more.
All right. That sounds great. So we're wrapping it up. The Juno Roller Girls are here. Their next bout is February 15th, Skate to the Heart at Centennial Hall. Get tickets at all the usual places, and then you can follow them on Facebook.
Yeah.
So ladies, don't hurt each other and have some fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
find. Remember the time that a trucker from Dallas was callous to Queen with his rude side. Now he can't deny that a god much more than it falls in full. Queenie's right claw brought him to the floor. Now he knows better than to mess with the Queen.
Okay, we're back. It's Juno Afternoon. It's February 3rd. It is 3:16 p.m. in Alaska's capital city. You're listening to KTOO News Juno. I've got a couple of announcements here. Are you getting older? Of course you are, but we mean really older. Be sure to tune in to KTOO tonight at 7 p.m. to hear Dr. Elaine Schroeder and her guests discuss the psychological and emotional aspects of aging. Even if you're not feeling old, maybe your parents are in their later years, so tune in to Mind Over Matter tonight at 7 to explore aging from both perspectives, the older person and the family that supports them. Okay, so tune in tonight, and you know, at any time, if you don't want to listen to KTOO live, you could go to ktoo.org and listen at will. Another thing happening tonight, public testimony about using public education funds for private schools. If you've got something to say about it, head up to the Capitol, 6 o'clock, room 532, and share your opinion with Alaska's lawmakers as opposed to your neighbors and friends. It might do a lot more good. Okay, and then in the studio with me is J.R. Rosales. He is a band member of Slush Not Snow. They have a CD. They have a new song that's coming out tomorrow, and they've got a show at the UAS Rec Center on Friday. Hey, J.R., how are you?
Hey, good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're glad to
appreciate
have you.
Appreciate it.
So tell us about Slush Not Snow.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say.
I like it, though.
Thanks. We're a rock band. We started in 2011, and we've just been lucky to have been playing a bunch of shows for the past 3 years now. So we just put out our first official release in November, and we're putting out a new song tomorrow. So
sounds great.
Yes.
So how many people are in the band?
There's three.
Okay.
It's guitar, bass, and drums.
And what do you play?
I play guitar.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say rock, what kind? Tell me a little bit about the music that excites you guys.
Oh man.
Are you guys? I don't even.
Yeah.
Know. Okay.
Yeah, just three guys, and I don't know. We listen to a lot of like indie rock kind of music and punk music, and but we kind of listen to everything, you know. Yeah, just a lot.
Cool. So tell me about the event on. Tell us all about the event on Friday.
Yeah, we're playing a show at the UAS Rec Center, 8 o'clock Friday. It's a free event for their first Friday. So.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if we want to find out more about the band, how do we do that?
You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/slushnotsnow. It's a hard name to say. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Where'd you get the name?
It was just a lyric in a song that we wrote.
Oh. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, and how long have you been playing?
I started playing guitar in sixth grade when I was 11.
Wow.
Yeah. Just kind of self-taught. But I was also in orchestra and played violin. And yeah.
And you said that your CD is available on iTunes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then are you currently a student at UAS, or are you just playing over there?
No, we're just playing over there. Our bass player guy goes to school there. So.
Okay. And you said you've been playing a bunch of gigs around town?
Yeah, just all over. We play like a gig a month, which is awesome. We're really lucky to be able to do that. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, this is I'm talking with J.R. Rosales. He's from the band Slush Not Snow. And they've got a new song coming out tomorrow. They've got a CD on iTunes and a party at UIS free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rec Center, 8 p.m. on Friday.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. So that was Slush, Not Snow. J.R. Rosales, he was just here in the studio. They have a party this Friday at the UAS Rec Center at 8 o'clock, and it's free. Next up, Garrison Keillor, and then we'll be back. It's 3:23 p.m.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 3rd of February, 2014. It's the birthday of Norman Rockwell, who said, "I was showing the America I knew and observed to others who might not have noticed." He was born in New York City, 1894. Awkward boy, pigeon-toed, bad eyesight. He was skinny, had trouble reading and writing, but he did show some talent as an artist. In the evenings, his father read aloud from Dickens, and while the boy listened, he drew illustrations of the scenes. He became a full-time art student. His career took off. He was hired by the magazine Boy's Life as a cover illustrator. He went down to Philadelphia to meet the editor of the Saturday Evening Post, who bought two paintings off him and three sketches. And Norman Rockwell had realized his great dream to become a regular illustrator for the Post, which was the most popular magazine in America. Eventually produced more than 300 covers in about 50 years. He was not taken seriously by critics for a long time, though he did have a show in 1968 in a New York City gallery. Willem de Kooning came, and Andy Warhol, and admired him, and the Guggenheim launched a major retrospective in 2001, more than 20 years after Norman Rockwell's death. It's the birthday of Elizabeth Blackwell. 1821, Bristol, England, came to this country as a child when her father set up a sugar refinery in New York. She had a woman friend who was dying a painful death from uterine cancer, and that convinced Elizabeth to go to medical school, the only woman at Geneva Medical College in upstate New York. When her anatomy professor came to the section on reproductive organs, he asked her not to attend, and she argued to be admitted, and she was. And she became the first woman to earn a medical degree in the United States. Her sister Emily was the third. In 1853, she opened a clinic that became known as the New York Dispensary for Poor Women and Children near Tompkins Square. She started a medical school for women in the late 1860s. But she did not believe in germ theory. She believed that disease came from moral impurity, not from microbes. So she was opposed to inoculation and vaccines, and she believed in spiritual healing. It's the birthday of the novelist Richard Yates, Yonkers, New York, 1926, a writer whose work influenced many other writers, but never sold all that well. He died in 1992, few of his books still in print. But a group of writers, including Richard Ford, Michael Chabon, and Kurt Vonnegut, championed his work and brought many of his novels back into print. And it's the birthday of the novelist James Michener, born Doylestown, Pennsylvania, 1907, an enormously successful author of historical novels, sold more than 75 million copies, made a great deal of money, lived a very frugal life, and gave most of his money away over his lifetime, about $117 million, to various institutions, including the University of Texas. Here's a poem for today by Ron Padgett, Inaction of Shoes. There are many things to be done today, and it's a lovely day to do them in, each thing a joy to do and a joy to have done. I can tell because of the calm I feel when I think about doing them. I can almost hear them say to me, "Thank you for doing us." And when evening comes, I'll remove my shoes and place them on the floor and think how good they look, sitting, standing there, not doing anything. Inaction of Shoes, Ron Padgett, from his collected poems, published by Coffee House Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
As a girl, I was taught the importance of respect for my family, respect for myself. Today, I see domestic violence and sexual abuse hurting our children. If you or someone you love is a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault, there is help. Asking for help changes everything. We can stop violence. Real Alaskans choose respect.
Brought to you by the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon. It's 3:29 p.m. on February 3rd. I'm Joan Pardis, your Juno Afternoon Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. Tonight, the Alaska Food Policy Council invites you to attend a town hall meeting from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Juno Douglas High School Commons. And they want to talk about increasing awareness of Alaska food issues, promote involvement in local food issues by community members, and gain a perspective of local food issues to inform the AFPC, which is the Alaska Food Policy Council, and their policymakers. So that's tonight at 6:30 to 8:30. There's a lot happening tonight because at 5:30 to 7, NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is holding their monthly Inside Passages. And to talk about that, we have their executive director, Dove Gardenberg. Hi, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be here.
So can we start a little bit about what NAMI is and then talk about the event tonight?
Sure. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It's a national organization with over 1,000 affiliates in communities across the country. And we provide support, education, advocacy for those living with mental illness in their families.
And you have an office here in Juneau. You have people on the ground here.
We are in Juneau, yes, and been here since the 80s.
Oh, that's great. And then what goes on at your Inside Passages? This is a monthly event every first Monday of every month?
The first Monday of every month, we have their forums on mental health and wellness. We have different topics and speakers tied to that subject. And it's we're very happy about the interest. It's been going now about 9 months. And
you get big crowds, don't you?
We get nice groups, right. I wouldn't call thousands, but we do get healthy groups.
For Juneau.
Very interested for Juneau.
And they take place at Bartlett Regional Hospital Administrative Building.
In the second floor in the boardroom with the posh seats.
Oh, nice. And refreshments serves, too.
Refreshments.
So tonight, what is the topic?
So the topic tonight is about NAMI's approach to mental illness, which seems somewhat obvious. I mean, of course, we're the National Alliance on Mental Illness, but we actually have a very, very distinct approach and place within the mental health system. And we want to bring that to people's attention. Partly, we want to talk, hopefully, this talk will be for people who are lawmakers and involved in policy making, for people who are providers, people in the community want to know what NAMI does. This is a more detailed talk about NAMI, both NAMI's history and also just, I think, the very important work that we do complementing important aspects of the mental health system.
Okay. Can you give us a few highlights? I know people should get there from 5:30 to 7. I don't want
sure.
you to give everything away, but what are some of the highlights that you just were alluding to?
Well, if you have a mental illness, you usually go to a provider, a clinician, or a psychiatrist, or a mental health clinic like JAMI, and this is a vital aspect of getting treatment. And by the way, when I say mental illness, it could be depression, it could be anxiety disorder, OCD, more serious disorders like bipolar or schizophrenia. And obviously, they need treatment. But the impact on the individual, of course, but also families, is very significant. We're really the only organization that takes a holistic approach to the treatment of mental illness. As of course, we say providers are critical, but families and individuals need support. They need understanding of all the different options for treatment, and they also often need advocacy because the systems can be unresponsive at times, and people need to be empowered to advocate for themselves and for their family members. And that's what NAMI really excels at.
Yes, that sounds like a wonderful resource. You know, it's interesting because many, many, many years ago, you know, people used to pronounce cancer as cancer, and nobody would really talk about it. Mm-hmm. And now our culture totally embraces physical ailments, and it's kind of
right.
out of the closet. Would you say that we're moving forward on mental illness as well?
Well, we hope so. And it's interesting just to even ask the question, why is the response to mental illness so different from the response to other medical illnesses? So when someone has heart disease or cancer nowadays, they do not permanently fall out of the world. Other illnesses follow a process of impact or withdrawal, care, recovery, and reentry. But too often, reentry and recovery, even care, is denied to people with mental illness. Did you know that 60% of people with a mental illness are not getting proper care across the country?
Wow, that's a huge number.
It's a huge number. The main reason for disability in the country is mental illness. And a lot of people, there's a stigma about mental illness. People are afraid to admit it or to seek help for it. And so we're fighting. That's a real tough battle we're fighting. And to help educate people, and there's a safe place also to come and talk about some of the issues that people are having. So we have a big task, and part of what I'm doing tonight is really laying out our approaches, very specific types of approaches that NAMI does, where we think it's a valuable part of the overall mental health system.
Right. That sounds wonderful. So that once again, that's tonight, 5:30 to 7 at the Bartlett Regional Hospital Administrative Building, which is right across from the main entrance
from the main
to
entrance of the hospital. It's a two-story building, and we're up in the second floor.
Right.
I'll have a poster out there so people
right,
can
and
see
it's
it.
Free. It's a community resource and service. Besides Inside Passages, what does NAMI offer? I mean, there's this monthly forum, which is educational awareness.
Right now, we're running a class called Family to Family, which we're most well known for. And the Family to Family is a 12-week education course for families that have a loved one with mental illness. And I have to tell you now, as a first time teaching a full class, it is so powerful for myself and people in the class, because they're learning vital and critical things that are going to just make such a big impact on their lives. So we do that. We have support groups for families and for individuals living with mental illness. And we have a big advocacy campaign. We're going to be at the legislature over the next 2 months, meeting with every single legislator and telling them about what we do and the importance for mental health services, for getting better access to mental health services. There's just a lot of ignorance about this issue. And if you think about it, it is a very pervasive issue. I mean, it's just, and we want to create a more humane society and to reduce the stigma that surrounds this issue.
Okay. If people can't make the Inside Passages tonight, how can they get a hold of you to tap into your resource space and get some help?
Sure. Well, we're on the web, very visible on the web, www.namijuno.org. That's probably the best place to start. And you've got our phone numbers there and our emails. And, look, I mean, if you're listening and you have a loved one with a mental illness, or you struggling with one, you haven't heard of us before, please give us a call, because we may be able to link you not only locally but nationally. The national website and organization is a fantastic one, and I think it's just helped save a lot of lives over the years.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in, and thank you for all you do for the community.
Thank you, Joan.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. We like to know what leaders value. Here, David Yarnold, president of Audubon, describes being deeply moved by birds.
I was in Kearney, Nebraska to watch the sandhill cranes when they took off at dawn, 20,000 of them. And it was just deafening. You know, the juveniles with their high-pitched screeches. I mean, it just made the hair on my arms stand up.
And on the Atlantic Flyway, south of Charleston, there's a small barrier island called DeVoe Bank.
It's home to about 5,000 pairs of breeding brown pelicans. And I had the chance to take my wife and daughter out there, and there were oyster catchers and terns and the pelicans, and they just filled the air. And, you know, it was one of those moments where you know that you're in some other creature's place on Earth. Very magical place to be.
We asked David why bird conservation matters.
I know that where birds thrive, you're going to have clean water, you're going to have clean air, and that's good for kids, it's good for birds. So conservation to me is a core principle about how to live my life.
You'll find a link to Audubon on our website, birdnote.org. And once again, about those cranes.
So if I do have a sound in my soul now, it's the sandhill cranes.
On 360 North at 7 o'clock, get national and international news from the BBC World News and current conditions and forecasts across the state on Alaska Weather at 7:30. The documentary Play Again explores the changing balance between the virtual and natural worlds at 8. Healthy Body, Healthy Mind is at 9, and This is America and the World at 9:30. Gavel Alaska's legislative coverage returns at 10. Tonight on 360 North and 360North.org.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. It's 3:40 p.m. on Monday, February 3rd. We have Renee Linton here. She's with Big Brothers Big Sisters. She's based out of Fairbanks. She's in Juno for the week, and she is in charge of the Alaska Native Mentoring Initiative for Big Brothers Big Sisters. Hi, Renee. Welcome to Juno.
Hi. Thanks.
Did you have any problem getting in?
No.
Yay. So can we talk a little bit? Let me just give a little background before we even get into the Alaska Native Mentoring Initiative. Big Brothers Big Sisters is a nationwide program. They match adults with kids. We have a vibrant Big Brothers Big Sisters community here in Juneau and Alaska. So what is this Alaska Native Mentoring Initiative of this organization?
Well, it's a really new and innovative project that we're doing. We're basically targeting Alaska Native youth, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, who failed one of their standardized tests. What I'm really needing to do is recruit Alaska Native adults to become mentors, because culturally appropriate matches are best, and we're going to match them together, and hopefully we can decrease dropout rates.
Wow, so this sounds incredibly targeted.
Yeah.
So it's not just Alaska Native youth, it's in a certain grade, if they failed a specific test, so on and so forth. When you say it's new, how new is new?
It's a 3-year grant.
So. Okay, and you're just starting it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many matches are you hoping to get?
I think we're hoping to get 29 matches.
Okay, and in Juneau? Is that,
yeah,
in Juneau?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and a match, tell me what a match is and what that means and what you're looking for as a volunteer for the Alaska Native Big Brother Big Sister.
Basically, just Alaska Native who's willing to be a friend, and they just have to listen. There's Big Brothers, Big Sisters, there's match support, and what we're going to do is we're really going to support that particular match. We have liaisons in all three districts, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau. They're going to track the child's grades, and we're going to hopefully encourage the big to help that child in whatever that child is lacking. So, like, if the child isn't doing well in math, then we would request to the big, why don't you, like, make a recipe but double it and count some money, or just kind of put that in there informally, because it's not tutoring or anything.
Yeah, so they don't need any tutor, or they don't need a math PhD.
Mm-mm.
It's just kind of everyday math, just slipping it in.
Right.
And then what's the time commitment for the big, which is the big brother or sister?
It's about a year commitment.
But on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, like what kind of time commitment are they?
For site-based, where you visit the child at school, it's an hour a week, and you go during their lunchtime. Community-based is 2 to 4 times a month.
Okay, so it's not a huge commitment. And what if somebody's interested, but they're a little cautious about the commitment and might not have the skills? Do you want to talk a little bit to that?
Sure. Always look us up. We have a Facebook page, AK Native Mentoring, and then you can find us online too, bbbsak.org. But I was actually a little sister, and that's why I really believe in what we're doing. My big, all she had to do was be there, and that was it. And my confidence rate, shot up, and my grades shot up.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And now here you are. Making it happen for other kids.
Hopefully, yeah. We just need those volunteers.
Okay, so if people are interested in volunteering, do you have a number that they could call locally? Go ahead. This is
586-3350.
That's Lena Gilbertson. She is a local coordinator here for Big Brothers Big Sisters. So people could call up. And is there a training involved, or is it, how does one, you fill out some paperwork, how does it all work to become a volunteer?
We have orientation, and then we have some online training if they would like.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you were a little sister to a big sister, what were some of the things that you remember most about your big brother or big sister?
I remember her coming in during show and tell, and she brought her bunny, and I was like the coolest kid in class. And I just remember she would just make time for me, and we'd do all sorts of things. We didn't even have to do anything. We can just watch TV, and it was great.
Right. So people don't have to break out their bunny to be cool.
Right.
They could just have to shut up. And does it matter whether it's the school-based program, which is 1 hour a week, or if it's a couple of hours after school? Does it matter either way?
Either way.
Okay. And so have you visited Fairbanks? Well, you're from Fairbanks. Have you visited Anchorage already?
Yes.
Okay. And what are some of the other goals? So you want to do 29 matches here in Juneau. You want to, for fifth and sixth graders, looking for specifically Alaska Native adults to pair with Alaska Native youth. And what are some of the other goals that you're looking for?
In Fairbanks, we're trying to get 60 matches, and then in Anchorage, we're trying to get around 90. So
okay.
It's pretty big numbers, but I think we can do it.
All right. That sounds great. All right. And that number is 586-3630. And if you want to find out more, what was that Facebook page?
It's AK Native Mentoring.
Okay. All right. And where is this grant from?
It's from the Department of Education.
All right. It sounds wonderful. Thanks so much for what you both do. And I strongly encourage, if you have any interest, help spread the word or call and donate some time.
Yeah,
sounds
thank you.
Great. All righty. Thanks. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call. I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? When people can be so cold, they'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, see you again. Oh, babe, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, or fall? Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you got a friend? Ain't it good to know you got a friend? Oh yeah, yeah, you got a friend.
Okay, we're back. It's 3:50 p.m. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer extraordinaire of the show. Speaking of friends, Juno Montessori School Valentine's Day Beer and Wine Tasting Fundraiser is coming up Friday, February 14th from 5 to 8 at the Hangar Ballroom. The event features all the wine and craft beer you could taste, hot and cold hors d'oeuvres, and a live auction. Tickets are $35 each and available at Hearthside Books at the door or by calling Juno Montessori School at 364-3535. That's Friday, February 14th. Also, just want to let you know, effective immediately, drivers must have a parking permit to park in the Downtown Transportation Center parking garage and the Marine parking garage. Not easy for me to say, huh? Garage-specific parking permits can be purchased from the Parks and Rec office located in City Hall, Suite 218. The Downtown Transportation Center parking garage is sold out, but there are vacancies in the Marine parking garage, and there's changes coming on the Orange Street parking as well. I'm sure Kim Kiefer will be back on the show to talk about that when that is effective. Okay, we're going to listen to some of Edward Strauss, played by the Vienna Philharmonic, and then we'll be back with the weather. Okay, this is Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I've been your host today. I'm Joan Pardis every Monday. Hey, next Monday, February 10th, Beth Cotullo is going to do a live interview with me via phone. She's already down in California to talk about her work here and just have a little snapshot of, I don't know, Beth's opinions on things. So Representative Cotullo, she'll be on the show. We'll have a live interview with her February 10th. That's a week from today. So also tonight, public testimony. If you have an opinion about using public education funds for private schools, that is at 6 p.m. up at the Capitol, room 532. Share your opinions with the people who are making the laws. Also, there is the upcoming deadline for the Writer's Showcase. If you want to submit a piece to be part of the Writer's Showcase, KTOO Writer's Showcase, deadline is February 14th. You could check that out at ktoo.org. All right, tomorrow Scott Burden hosts Juno Afternoon at 3 o'clock as always. Wayne Jensen will be here to talk about the Treadwell Pump House. Brian Crowder from the UAS Drama Club will be here to highlight their upcoming play, The Country Club. And Karen Smolin will be here to talk about Career and Technical Education Month. The weather tonight, clear, locally windy, lows 12 to 25, coldest in wind-protected locations. East wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, except northeast wind 15 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 40 near downtown Juneau and Douglas. Tomorrow, sunny, highs 24 to 34, warmest near downtown Juneau and South Douglas. East wind 5 to 15 miles per hour, except that northeast wind again, 10 to 20 miles per hour with occasional higher gusts near downtown Juneau and South Douglas. Tomorrow night, clear, lows 14 to 24. Wednesday, sunny, highs around 25. Wednesday night, clear, lows around 16. Thursday, sunny. Thursday night, partly cloudy. Looks like snow maybe for the weekend. So it is 3:57 p.m. Thank you for joining us. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News, Juno, and next up, All Things Considered.
KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Stream.